I am me. I am who I am.
I am who I'm gonna be.
Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Oh, you know, I have to sit here and I dance in my chair and sing along with that song every single time, opening and closing. And that opening song and closing song is by True Trinity, a group formed by Cindy Freeman, who is our guest today, and Jillian Clark and Rachel Martinez. If you want to hear the rest of the song, you can go to their website at truetrinity.com and check it out. And you can buy the song as well. So hi, this is Jan Revelle, and this is Purpose Talk Radio, and today is the 22nd of October. Wow, time is really flying, isn't it? It's almost Halloween. Woohoo! Did you watch the Meteorite show the other night? I went out and looked because I'm in Sedona, Arizona, so it's pretty dark here. And I went out and looked, but I couldn't see the Orion constellation from where I am. So I stood there for a while and it got kind of cold and I started getting dizzy from looking up and, you know, got a crick in my neck and all. So I ended up coming in and I only saw one that I definitely noticed was a shooting star or a meteorite. Did you get to watch it? If you did, I hope you really enjoyed it. It was going to be a phenomenal sight. So today we're going to talk about seeing and vision and eyesight and other sight and what that means and how that impacts each of us in our lives, both on a physical level, mentally, and spiritually. There's been conversations recently about people who want to be able to see with the third eye, see what's going on in another room when they're not in that room, or like they did in the 70s with the psychic tests where you can see what cards are being chosen by somebody in another room, whether they're red or black, or if you can get the denomination or whatever. I was talking to Cindy about this earlier, and I told her that in the 1970s, I went with a friend to a psychic center in London. And I was told by them, well, if you have any psychic ability, you're really going to have to work to develop it. So from that, I took it that I was not psychic. And in the 70s, it was a time when people who were psychic kind of had an attitude, you know, like, I'm better than you are because I have a connection I can see and you can't. Well, that eyesight thing really hit home for me because since I was in first grade, I've won glasses. The doctor, actually it started out because my first grade teacher got upset with me because my name began with R, it still does, and that meant since we were seated alphabetically that I was seated way at the back of the room. And she would write something on the blackboard and I would get up out of my seat and walk front and look at the blackboard, and then go back to my seat. So she called my mother and told her that I was being impertinent for doing that. And she also then, fortunately, suggested that my mother do something about having my eyesight checked. So we went to the doctor, and at that time we didn't have a car, because that was a long time ago, folks. Anyway, the doctor told her to have me on the way home to point at a sign across the street and ask me what the sign said. So we're walking home, and she sees a sign across the street, and she says, hey, Jan, what does that sign over there say? And I looked all around. She said, what sign? And it was only then that she realized how bad my eyesight was. So I ended up with Coke bottle glasses for all those years, and I discovered that eyesight is really critical. And it isn't just physical eyesight, it's how we see things anyway. So as I went through the years with my heavy glasses, feeling inferior, getting called four eyes, and I had buck teeth, so I got Bucky Beaver along with it, when I was young, to getting contacts and seeing, if for the first time in my life being able to see the shapes of leaves. You know, the pointy shapes on the maple leaf and the veins that go through the leaves. I had never seen those before. It was really amazing to be able to see. And then I discovered that I could see in my dreams, but I also had this thing about glasses. So one of my nightmares was something was chasing me, and I'd be running like crazy, and I would realize that I didn't have my glasses, so I couldn't see where I was going, which was true of a lot of my life, actually. But at that time, I couldn't see where I was going, and so what I did is I learned how to fly. And I would fly. I would fly downstairs. I would fly to the tops of buildings. I would fly wherever. Unfortunately, whatever it was that was chasing me could follow me. So apparently it could fly too, and that didn't dawn on me. But I learned how to fly in my dreams because I couldn't see without my glasses. So for many, many years, I actually blessed greatly whoever it was. I never researched it, so I don't know. But whoever it was that created lenses that allowed people to see, because otherwise I used to think about what my life would be like if I didn't have glasses to see what was going on, and I realized that I would be a beggar on the street, and that if I had been born in the Middle Ages when they did not have glasses, that's exactly what would have happened. I would have been one of those urchins on the street that people kicked or passed by or spat upon. Because I wasn't able to see. I was basically blind. And having glasses allowed me to see physically. And then in later years, I discovered by accident that I had other vision as well. We were driving along. I was a passenger. It was Christmas time. So all kinds of Christmas lights were out, and the stoplights are green and red as well. And I took off my glasses for some reason and looked up at the lights. See, that noise was I was just taking off my reading glasses. So I looked up at the lights, and they were stunning. They were huge. They weren't just lights. They were these enormous 4-foot-wide balloons of light that was absolutely gorgeous, and they blended in with each other, and they merged, and I was just amazed. And then I realized that people with 20/20 vision never got to see that. And I started feeling sorry for people with 20/20 vision because they only got to see one part of life. And I, on the other hand, got to see life in many different ways and many forms. And then over the years, as I did massage therapy, I learned that there were obviously, when not just the two of us in the room when I was doing massage. I was a Reiki master. Still am a Reiki master, and I realized that there were many beings in the room when I was working with somebody. And when I had my eyes open, my physical eyes open, I could sense that they were there. I don't know how to describe it, but there's a little bit of, almost like water on glass or something, that you can see that there's something in between you and the wall over there. And then I could kind of get messages that they were giving me. But then when I closed my physical eyes, I could see whoever was there a lot more clearly. And I could also hear what they were telling me a lot more clearly. So it again made me realize that seeing and vision come in different ways. And we learn about them at different times in our lives and experience them in different ways as well. So it's important. Having eyesight and having vision are not the same thing. They can be. They're partly the same thing, but they're not completely the same thing. And I think this is important for all of us to recognize. So I drew two cards for today, thinking about the topic of seeing and vision and sight and what that means. Oh, by the way, we went back to, you know, I told you that this psychic had told me that I, you know, if I had any psychic ability, I'd really have to work at it. And I was very grateful over the years for him telling me that, because what I noticed is that so many of the people who call themselves psychics got stopped right at that point. It was stopped kind of at the astral travel level, at the psychic level, and they never really went on to a full spiritual development because there was so much ego involved with being psychic. So for me, I started focusing on what was really important to me, which was spiritual development. And I recognized then over the years that any quote-unquote psychic ability that I might have was a natural byproduct of my own spiritual development. And in the 90s, we discovered that everybody is psychic. We didn't discover it. We finally recognized it, that everybody has psychic ability, that everybody is intuitive. And I think part of that came because so many people had started their own spiritual path by that time and were growing on their spiritual path and were recognizing as well that these were byproducts of their own spiritual growth. And I maintain today that if you want clear vision and clear sight, then the best thing you can do for yourself is work on your own spiritual path. And don't worry about any of these psychic abilities that we all want. You know, we kind of crave them sometimes. It's like buying that new television. Oh, I want to upgrade my computer. You know how that feels. Same thing when we think about being able to see what somebody's doing in another room or kind of peeping Tom on somebody else, that sometimes that has the quality of a party trick. So be aware within yourself what it is that you want. When you're looking at sight, when you're looking at seeing and vision, be aware of whether you're looking for a party trick. And if that's going to stop your own spiritual development or delay it, or whether you really want to focus on your spiritual path and allow whatever of these byproducts exhibit themselves to be yours, and recognize that not everybody has the same, it doesn't manifest itself. These things don't manifest themselves the same in everybody. Some people can see, some can hear, some feel, some know, some do all of it. It really doesn't matter. What does matter is that you are being true to your path and you're having an inner vision, an inner sight that leads you on your path. So the first card for today is called Autumn Leaf. And it's absolutely perfect when we talk about sight and vision. It shows, I think we had this not long ago. Anyway, it shows a young woman sitting leaning against a dead tree stump. And she has her hands folded on her lap. Her eyes are closed. It's obviously night or dusk. There is a tree in the background that is barren of leaves. And behind the tree is this huge full moon. So here's this young woman who is looking within. Because when she looks without, she sees the barren tree, the barren landscape. She's leaning against a tree stump that is dead and happens sometime. So what is there of life? What is there to see in this landscape? Really nothing. And so what she is doing is exactly what I was just saying about your spiritual path. She's looking within. And that's where we find true vision, is looking within. Because that's where we'll find that tree in full leaf. And the tree that you're leaning against will be vibrant and full of life. And the moon will still be full. And so will you. And you'll be fulfilled because you're walking the path that you're meant to be walking. And there was another card that insisted on jumping out, and it's called Melody. And Melody shows a young woman in beautiful colors, a kind of a golden colored skirt that sort of has a light around it, a halo light around it. She's wearing a crown. There's a bird sitting on her shoulder. There are a whole bunch of flowers around her. And there is a gnome-like creature playing a fiddle or violin at her knee. She's listening to the melody, and she's looking within. Her eyes are open, but she's not focused on anything. So if you want to find the true melody, the beauty of the flowers, listening to what the birds are saying, and listening to that other music, that otherworldly fairy and otherworldly music, you must look within. You must be quiet and look within. So we have two, one that has her eyes closed, not looking at the barren landscape, but looking at the melody that is within and all of that beautiful color. Wow. Okay. I have God bumps. I hope you do too. So today we have Cindy as our guest, but we already have a caller who has a question. Has been very patiently waiting, and I'd like to invite her in before I... Actually, I'm going to bring Cindy in first, and we'll say hello, because Cindy has inner vision as well. She told me she doesn't necessarily see, but she gets these... She gets the message. So let's bring... Let's get Cindy live. Cindy, you're on the phone, but your Skype is also echoing on us.
Okay, I'll turn that down.
You can also put it on mute if you want. All right. Well, welcome, Cindy. It's good to have you here. I'm really, really excited and delighted to have you on the show today.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Good.
Different side of the computer.
Yes, it is. It is. So we're going to talk today, and we'll get into your story very shortly. But I wanted to bring you in early because Kathy has a question and wants a reading, and you... that are very clear and direct. So I'd like to have you be involved in this. Okay?
Okay.
All right. We're going to bring Kathy in. Kathy, you are now live. Hi. Where are you
calling? Hi. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Good. That was very interesting what you just said, because I'm taking a psychic development class.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not seeing with my third eye, but I can feel and... You know, like an empath, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're feeling inferior because you can't see like other people can, right?
Right. And she said out of the six that she's teaching, two of us are like can't see.
Well, you know, it isn't a matter of can't see as much as it is it's not time for you to see.
Right.
That there are other things, you know, you've got a feeling, you probably have a sense of knowing.
Right.
And one of the things that I know Cindy will agree with this, she's done journalism and does writing. I've done medical transcription. If you do any of that, one of the things that we do is open a Word document on the computer and type your question in and then just sit there and wait and maybe start typing something, because that helps get movement going. And you'll find that all of a sudden it will morph from your typing to you are being typed.
Mm-hmm.
Message is coming through, and you're sitting there going, whoa, I'm not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll get the sense that this is, you'll hear the words coming through. Like with transcription, I would hear a doctor speaking, and it would go right to the finger. So it's kind of like that, is I get the message in my brain of the words, but it doesn't compute in the brain. It just goes right through the fingers.
Uh-huh.
That can sometimes help with the seeing. There are several ways that you can learn how to see, and it depends on what you want to see. For instance, I was never able to see, like I said, the cards that somebody was doing in another room, or what somebody else was doing in another room. But I did massage therapy for years. And what I would do is 10 to 20 minutes before the person was to arrive, I would sit down and I would kind of reach out and connect with that person to say, what is it that you need from me today? And when they arrived, I would give them whatever it was that message came through, because it was something that I knew, even though no words came through, no visions came through, or while I was working on them, there was a knowledge that came through that, oh, you need to do this. And the only time that anybody was happy was, there was one time in all the 10 years that I did massage, there was one time that somebody was unhappy because she said, I want you to do this. And I said, well, okay, but that's not really the message I'm getting for what you need to. I don't care. I want you to do this. And so I complied with what she wanted. And as a result, at the end, she complained bitterly because she wasn't feeling better. And I knew she would feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you going to do? You You just kind of, so it taught me, actually that was a wonderful experience because it taught me very clearly to listen to what I was being told, even though at the time I wasn't hearing any words. It was simply a knowing of what needed to be done.
Okay.
So there's some things that you can do to learn how to see, but you need to be able to relax and let go of that inferiority complex about it. And I know exactly how that feels. Believe me, I know.
Sure you do, yeah.
When you're told you got to work for it because you don't have much psychic ability, you get real humble and you feel inferior because everybody else can do it.
Right.
So sometimes what you can do is, I am not an artist at all, but sometimes you can take a piece of paper and some colored pencils or a pencil and just let something happen. Let it on the paper. One of the things that I would encourage you to do that I found amazing for myself is to draw, take some crayons and some craft paper or that newspaper stuff, and draw a picture, a big picture of yourself.
Mm.
And when I do body readings with people, this is what I have them do. You draw your front, and you draw a picture of yourself from the back. Even though you can't see that, you still draw the picture. And then I have them ink their feet and step on a piece of paper.
Okay.
Because there's so much in the feet that you can read. And this way, and I've done this for myself of these drawings, and I do it over the course of years to see where have I changed. Have I changed, and where and how, by reading this drawing. So the drawings are really fascinating because then you can look at them and allow yourself to unfocus your eyes and know and feel and see what you're seeing. So you're looking at the picture of yourself, and you're looking at your eyes and your nose and your mouth and your ears and your hair, and you're looking at your body and which arm is longer or not and which position it's in, and your legs and feet and the entire body. And you can look at that and you can interpret it.
Okay.
Now, When you take the course, the Soul Body Certification course, then you really know how to interpret it. But despite that, you can still do that on your own because you're going to get the intuitive knowledge of it, the intuitive sense of what's there in the picture.
Okay.
So was that your question? I kind of overrode you there.
No, but I was going to just ask for a reading, but you were just talking about that. So
okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Cindy, do you have anything to add to that?
Part of what you said, I just typed, which is kind of funny.
Oh.
Like you said, open a document, let it go.
Uh-huh.
I guess my initial thought, what I'm hearing, is I'm hearing you say can't, which will block that.
Right.
As opposed
I know,
to,
and I don't mean to say that. I it's just a habit.
Well, right. And instead, the up to this point, I haven't been able to, or that kind of thing.
Right.
And the other part is maybe you're not supposed to see right now. Maybe because you're connecting with people in different ways than maybe others are. Maybe some of your other classmates can't, quote unquote, do some of the other aspects of this psychic and the feeling part of it, or whatever your strength seems to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those may be, that may mean that you're going to be led to somebody else to be doing that work until that is open for you. But the big comment, pretty much I echo what Jan said, if you work too hard at something rather than letting it happen, it's probably not going to happen. And that's what I see right now. If you're struggling and just like, oh, I have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Let it come as a natural, because that is the spiritual side of you. That is the intuitive and the part that, you know, is totally natural as opposed to the part that's necessarily... I want to kind of override it, you know, necessarily developed. It is developed over time once you get it, is my understanding. But right now, it's what's inside of you and what's the natural.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Is that helpful at all, Kathy?
Yes, very, very.
Okay. Well, I wish you good luck with that. But again, please don't don't let your ego get involved or your mind that this is something that you have to do, or it's not a business, it's not work, it's something that will develop on its own when the time is right. And as you continue to develop the other aspects of opening up to your psychic abilities, then this will come at some point. Maybe.
Right.
There's.
Okay.
So let go of the inferiority complex. It isn't worth it. Just let go and be who you are.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling in, Kathy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Cindy, we have one more caller. Let's take the caller, and then that'll be all for now because I want to get you on the line and get you introduced. So we have a caller from area code 908. Hi, this is Jan, and you are on the air.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon, ladies. This is Carolyn. And
Carolyn?
Yes.
Hi, Carolyn. Where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
I'm sorry, where?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay. And what can we do for you today?
I would love to have a reading or any messages that come from the spirit.
Okay. Do you have a particular question or concern that you want to deal with?
Well, maybe not spiritually related, but actually, how am I going to make a living? This is my phase of my life.
Okay. And do you have a job now?
No.
And did your job end recently, or?
No. Okay. By choice.
By choice, okay.
Yes.
All right. Cindy, you getting anything on this? Jump in if you do.
I can barely hear her.
Okay. Carolyn said that she left a job some time ago, and she wants to know how she can make a living. So, Carolyn, somebody else said something about this not long ago, and I'm going to make a similar suggestion to you.
Okay.
Is to sit down with a paper and pencil and make a list of all your talents, which are things that you do automatically, and all of the skills that you have learned. So,
well, I have
things that
many skills, but mostly,
I'm sorry, what?
I said I have many skills. But I think spiritually, that's where I did. You know, be a healer, or even witchy lady. I'm very intuitive myself, but when it comes to me, I'm.
Excuse me. There's a lot of static. There's a lot of static, and we can hardly hear you.
No problem. All righty. Well, I appreciate it since you can't hear me. Is that better now?
Yeah, it is better. It is better.
Okay. It might have been this part.
Good. Well, Carolyn, first of all, I want to ask you, you say you don't have any skills, and I have to honestly say...
No, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. I said
okay.
I have many skills.
You have many skills. Okay. All right. Then, in that case, what I'm going to suggest to you is still make your list of talents, make your list of skills, and the skills, then write down the question of, first of all, when was the last time I did something that I was really happy and excited, and what was that? And describe that one or several situations. And the second thing is, in particular, what do I have to give, not sell, to give to somebody else? So that you could volunteer somewhere.
I already do all of that.
Okay.
I do all of that. I guess everything will come together at a certain time. I just want to know if you had, like, any, you know.
Yes, the message that I'm getting for you very, very strongly is that it's going to be really important for you. You may have already done this, but I'm going to suggest it again. It's going to be really important for you to set aside a time and a space where you can be very, very quiet without any interruptions whatsoever, without outside noises, without phone calls or people at the door or voices around you, very, very quiet, and go within and do some visualizations. And there are several visualizations. You can connect with me later if you want. We also have some visualizations. The one about going to the lake and following the animal, that's a healing one. There's one about going into the root chakra. But there are some other visualizations that, and you probably know some of them, go into that quiet space and find, just be quiet. Don't look for anything. Just be quiet. And notice, for instance, there's one that I love, and I'll recommend this to you for the moment, is to, when you finally get your breathing calmed down, to focus on your third eye, behind your third eye, or not even really, it's not focusing on the third eye, it's focusing in your forehead and recognizing that there is a round room in your forehead and you are there. And there are windows all around, and you see a door leading out of that room. So go out of the room, and then you will find that there is an area short right outside that room somewhere that is the perfect spot for you. It may have trees, it may have rocks, it may have a bench or not, it may have grass, it may have water. You, whatever it is, it's the perfect place for you. And then go to and sit and lie down on the ground. Get totally connected with the ground. And just allow yourself to be and to be quiet. And let your mind be quiet. Because in that quiet is going to come the voice that tells you what you are supposed to be doing.
I have been doing that. Maybe I'm not there yet.
Have you been able
I'm laughing because this is so funny. I really have been doing all of that, and I'm very patient, so I'll just keep on being patient. Because
Carolyn?
Honestly, hello?
Cindy's trying to get...
Oh, go ahead.
With what you're saying you're doing, have you been able to pinpoint for yourself what you actually want to be doing?
Yes.
Okay. Have you written that down?
Oh, yes. For quite a while, over a year.
Have you told Spirit that's exactly what you want?
Yes. Yes.
And have you asked for it?
Of course. Yes.
Yes.
All yeses.
Well, then, Carolyn, I'm still getting... Oh, I'm sorry, Cindy. Go ahead.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
I'm still getting that there is a lot of mental activity and a lot of anxiety. So I'm going to suggest something that Adriana talked about last week, and that is that when you think about what it is that you want to do and how you're going to make a living, there's the question itself carries fear with it. So what I'd like you to do is find that spot in your body when you talk about, how am I going to make a living? Oh my God, how am I going to make a living? No matter how you say it, find that place in your body where you feel it, and then talk to it. And don't just talk at it, but talk with it. So ask it, if you had a voice, what would you say to me? And then listen and write down the answers. And then carry on a conversation, a real honest-to-goodness conversation, making sure that the words can't and should and ought and don't and all of those negative words are not part of the conversation. Leave them out of that conversation. And listen to what it would say, and then also ask it, what can I do to give you ease, to make you feel fulfilled? And listen. I get the sense of still quite a bit of mental chatter going on or mental activity going on. So this is another way to be able to connect and, again, get to a place of listening.
Okay. Well, thank you, ladies. I thank you for your help. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. And Carolyn, are you on Facebook? Okay. Are you part of our conversations group?
Oh, no.
If not.
It's my first time calling in.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then do a search on Facebook for Purpose Talk Radio Conversations Group, and then request to join. And somebody who is on the page right now will include you, will bring you into the group, and then other people will be talking about your question as well, because there's a thread that goes on for today's conversation. So be part of it, okay?
Thank you so much. You have a lovely day. Thank you.
You too, Carolyn. Okay. Cindy, let's talk about Cindy Freeman. Cindy Freeman, I'm going to do a little... Cindy Freeman is a musician, a composer. She plays guitar. She is learning... She says that she's learning sign interpretation, but she's also been doing it for a long time. So there's a little bit of an inferiority thing going on there, I think, too, that we're going to address. But Cindy has had an eyesight issue all of her life, and at one point actually went blind, and then through a very special surgery, now has eyesight again, even though it's somewhat limited. So we're going to talk about vision and seeing and sight with Cindy. Let's start back from when you were little and when you discovered that you couldn't see properly and how that all kind of came about, and do a real streamlined version of up until today. Would you do that?
Sure. My first incident with the Coke bottle glasses was similar to yours in that 2 years old, I'm going to an eye doctor and they're putting drops in my eyes and putting me in a dark room and doing all this stuff that, you know, no 2 year old kid understands.
Right.
You know, say, here, play with the toys, but you're in the dark. It just wasn't cool. So, you know, I ended up with the glasses and had them all the way through school. Like you, ended up sitting, well, I could, because of the glasses, could sit mostly around the room, but pretty much chose to sit in the front because it was a lot easier than struggling and getting the people looking back at me and all that other kind of stuff that goes with that kind of, I don't know, characteristic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, everything was okay until I got into high school. And my sophomore year, when most people should be thinking about starting to drive, I went to the eye doctor in break. Everything was fine. About a month later, walked in the door after school and said, Mom, I got this flashing light in my eye.
Mm.
And it's like somebody keeps taking my picture. And she parked me on the couch and told me, don't move, and panicked. I called the eye doctor. And that didn't help at all. Found out that I had had abnormal blood vessels grow into the back of my eye, and they were bleeding.
Oh, dear.
You know, the only thing they could have potentially done was surgery, but even back then, it wasn't what it is now. So they did some of that, but it was also too close to the center of my eye, so they couldn't really cauterize it, because if I flinched or did anything, I could have gone completely blind.
Oh, my gosh.
It eventually sealed itself, left scar tissue, so that I was looking through pretty much a screen out of my right eye.
Oh.
My brother had to do my homework for me, or help me with it, and he was 4 years younger than me. And, you know, kind of went, all right, now what? And I said, well, let this settle down. Let's see what happens. Maybe you can drive. Maybe you can't. We'll see. You know, you can't operate with one eye. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Good. Let's see what happens. Until I learned, you know, to balance and walk with it. Well, almost a year later to the day, I got the flashing light in the other eye.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And we went to the, it was on a weekend. I was actually at a dance and had invited a date and all this kind of stuff. I was having a good time and had my friend come into the restroom where I was looking at my contact lens bottle and seeing wavy lines like it was looking through water.
Mm-hmm.
she ended up calling my dad, and they came right away, got me to the hospital, and sure enough, we had bleeders in that eye. Basically, actually, the eye doctor at that point said, well, she might as well finish the dance, just be careful, because there was nothing they could really do about it, even if they got me in, you know, on a weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Luckily, by the Monday morning, this was a Saturday, by Monday, it had cauterized itself and left very little damage, which for the most part I only caught while I was, you know, when I got really tired.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, so here you go. This is what you're going to live with. We're not authorizing you to drive, at least till this is stable for a year. My parents took me to Faith Healers, over to, my tests were sent to the Mayo Clinic, all over the United States, to the best eye ophthalmologist people that are in the country. And everybody said, no, we can't do anything for you.
Wow.
Eventually, yeah, we had one person in St. Louis that was supposed to be a great laser specialist. We did fly out to see him. And he said pretty much the same thing as everybody else. I could do laser and try to zap some of the scar tissue. But at this point, it's probably done too much damage. And if you flinch while I do it, you could completely lose your eye.
Hey, whiz.
And gratefully, my parents let me make the decision. Even yeah, with their consulting, of course. And I said, mm-hmm. you know, I'd rather have something than nothing right now. Maybe mm-hmm. I can still drive. Maybe I can still live my life. And it kind of went that way. I was able to drive eventually. Oh, and also in the process of that weekend, they had taken me to this faith healer, which I knew nothing about. It was a Catholic priest, which was at that point very unusual at the time.
A Catholic priest faith healer?
Catholic priest faith healer, yes.
Wow.
Out of New York.
Wow.
Out of New York. He was in Chicago at the time, which is where all my relatives were, which is where we flew out of. So it was like that synchronicity on time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I did it first, and then we went to another doc after that. I went to four docs in a matter of about 6 days. Had my eyes dilated with different ones checking at them.
Wow.
And I finally got one after the faith healer who said, you know, it will probably get better over time. Some of those cells will change, and, you know, but again, there's no guarantee, and there's whoops. Which there were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
18, I was able to get my driver's license and just had to be careful because the depth perception has always been off. But I learned to live with it, learned to adjust it, and
yeah.
learned to, like I said, you'll probably be blind someday. Great. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
What's someday? Well, could be tomorrow. It could be when you get old. Great. Live with that for a while.
Yeah.
I decided that all I could do was live life. I had to live life.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wanted to be a writer. I knew I didn't know what kind at the time. I knew I wanted to go to college. And I had to do something. I was not about to sit on my hands because I never did. I was in half a dozen activities in high school. I was on the school paper. I was constantly moving around. There's no way you would get me to sit still.
Mm-hmm.
So I said I wanted to go to college, and the Department of Vocational Rehab stepped in because it was considered a disability
mm-hmm.
and ran interest tests and this kind of stuff and came up with computers. Great.
Wow.
And they thought, well, programming would be wonderful for me. Okay, programmers make nice money. That sounds good. Okay.
Well, they do, but they also require pretty good vision, don't they?
Well, they thought, which didn't make sense to me, they thought the computer would be able to tell me what the problem was, but yet the computer would not be able to talk to me if I was a journalist or a writer, which I never understood.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. They said, well, computers are getting to the point where they're starting to kind of talk. You should be able to figure that out. And, you know, if there's a problem with the program, it'll beep at you. Okay.
So
but
I
they
went
didn't,
to school.
They didn't have that in the for writing yet.
No, not for writing yet.
That was still in development.
No talkies yet. Right.
Yeah. So what got you interested in? I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit.
Go ahead.
What
got
you interested in signing, in sign interpretation?
While I was in high school, a friend of mine was interpreting the Mass, and I, watching Helen Keller movies in school, I was always fascinated by it. I thought, why should anybody not be able to communicate? I've always been a communicator and thought it was important. And when I saw the person interpreting for this young girl that had no other way of participating in the Mass, I wanted to learn. I was fascinated by the beauty of it, the looks of it. And so she started teaching me.
At that point,
I just wanted to do it, just do it. I had no interest in a career. Nothing. Great. I was in what was called a sign singing group. We performed sign to music. I did that for about 25 years, 24 years, with the same people. They were mostly English with one deaf person who was raised oral. So she was not using sign a lot, but she was doing it. So we were all learning kind of on the fly in this group. Jump ahead 20 years. I went through my journal. I did graduate in journalism, finally got out of the computers because a computer program, I was 5-6 programs behind when the computer was talking at me and saying, you have an error, and nobody could figure out what it was. I'm like, I can't do this. This is not communication. The lab tech, the professor could not figure it out, and it turned out to be a comma, mind you.
Oh, my gosh.
We know in English the difference of a comma and a sentence and what the meaning can mean. It does in computer programming, too.
Yeah.
So I got out of that, went into my journalism, graduated, worked in there for about a dozen years. So, did various jobs, all that. And then about 10 years ago, was at church and was just messing around with the music like I always did. I would sign some songs, have a good time, and I heard, you're supposed to start a deaf ministry. That internal spirit said, start deaf ministry. I said, what? I don't sign. I don't know what that means. I'm not even in the deaf community. I don't know I don't know anything about this.
Mm-hmm.
I did know deaf culture was different from hearing culture. Because I knew our group as all hearing people did not perform for a deaf audience. We performed for hearing audiences to get them to understand a little bit about sign language and communication. We did not perform for deaf.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. So I thought, now what? Again.
Yeah.
I'm, in my 30s. What do I do? Go back to school? Sure. That's the only answer I had. I was working full-time at the time. I had actually resigned from a job and was looking for other jobs, even though I was still working at that job. Kind of an interesting situation. So I started taking some classes to really learn sign language, American sign language, not just English word orders, while I was working. That job I resigned at 3 years. It went 5 years. Well, I took a couple of classes. We had the agreement that I wouldn't actually leave it unless they hired someone, and they did interview people, or I found another job, whichever came first. And 5 years later, I was still there. The church was merged, and then I really was out of a job. By that time, I had learned enough to know that I had a lot more to learn. I had been interpreting with a singer-songwriter friend of mine for several years, like you had said. And one day on stage, she said to me, so in front of an audience of about 1,000 people, said, and with my story of, what would I do if I were brave? Well, I'm taking classes, I know what I'm doing.
That person's named Janice Stanfield, and she's a picture on the website.
Uh-huh.
She said to me, what would you do if you were brave? I'm like, well, I guess I'd go to school and really be an interpreter. And she said, when are you going? And out of my mouth was fall. Mind you, this is August. The beginning of August, early June, July. And I think if I had a mirror, some my eyeballs would have had to pop back into my head because it would have ricocheted off the mirror.
I take it you were surprised.
I was very surprised.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't know still what that would really mean. So within a month's time, I got my financial aid. I tested to get in the program. I talked with the advisor. Everything, I was in.
Wow.
Great.
So I'm gonna speed this up just a little bit, Cindy. Partway through the program, you ended up going blind, right?
That's exactly where I'm at. I went through 1 year of the 2-year program, and I became legally blind. I lost my eyesight to the point where everything was gray. I had triple vision. Triple vision. Yeah.
Wow.
I
double
could
vision
not
makes
see.
You sick. I can't even imagine triple vision.
Yeah. I'd look at a stoplight and three lights would appear there exactly the same density too. So I couldn't even have told you what the real one was if I had to reach out and touch it.
Wow.
So,
well, I'm gonna interrupt here for just a minute because that's an important thing that you just made, a comment you just made, is when the three lights appeared, they were all the same density, so there was no way to tell which one was the, quote, real one. And I think this is an important point to make for everybody when we're talking about vision and sight and seeing, whether it's on a physical level or whether it's in the dream world or whether it's through your third eye or no matter what it is, that sometimes we can see things and we doubt them because we don't know which one is, quote, real. In other words, which one is part of waking life versus dream life or fantasy life, or, and a lot of times we consider our, quote, unquote, psychic abilities to be fantasy when we're thinking about this. I thought it was fantasy when I was talking with angels until I got slapped for it. But anyway... It's still, I think it's really important for us to understand that reality is essentially an irrelevant word, because reality in a dream is the same as reality in waking life. And we can be lucid in our dreams and we can be lucid in our waking life. In other words, we can be fully awake in a dream and fully awake in our life, which most of us are not. And the point is to learn how to maneuver in each of those worlds as yourself, how to stay focused and centered, whether you can see clearly or not, whether things are grayed out, whether you see triple vision, double vision, single vision, it's all sight, and it's all staying focused within yourself so that you can walk through, like some of the science fiction stuff, so you can walk through the worlds that are phantom, maintaining your true self. So I went off on a tangent there on you. Go ahead. You had triple lights.
No, you didn't, because then I started questioning whether what I thought I heard was true.
Uh-huh.
Why would God put me into a career and a field that required eyesight? And then I can't see, because 50 to 70% of communication is facial expression. The rest of it comes off your hands. People say, well, you can still interpret if you can't see someone. Well, that's only half the job. You have to express off your hands and your face what someone is, what a hearing person is saying to a deaf person. You also have to voice what the deaf person is expressing off their hands and face to a hearing person.
Okay.
Sided coin.
Yeah.
And because I could not complete both of those tasks, I had to withdraw from my program. And it was on a medical leave, and it was probably the toughest decision I've ever had to make in my life. I didn't want to do it. I pushed it to the limit till essentially I was failing out.
Yeah.
I did not want to apply for disability because I didn't want to admit that this was happening. I didn't want to hang up the car keys. And I finally had to. I finally had to hang them up when the eyesight got to a point where, as I was driving somewhere, everything whited out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I was driving into the sun, and it just went white.
Yeah. Wow.
So I said, I guess, and I had said, I won't, and I told the docs, I'm not hanging up my keys until I get too scared to drive. That was the day I got too scared to drive.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, my car literally broke down that day, too. I had problems with the back end of it and the strut, and they came up through the back and pushing down on my tire, so I could not go any further with the car.
Wow.
Talk about spirit?
Yeah. Yeah. So then what happened with the surgery? I mean, how did that come about so that now that you have vision again? No, I'm going to say now that you have eyesight again.
Eyesight again, yes. And that was the one thing I did. The whole time I kept, I have vision. I know I'm going back to this field. I have to do, I can't believe that God will do this. What am I supposed to learn from it? While I'm doing it. And so for 3 years, my doctors watched my eyes. And they thought, I have glaucoma, I have myopic degeneration, and I have cataracts. And that
wow.
was causing blindness. They could tell me why triple vision. They understood double. They couldn't understand triple.
Yeah.
So they just put me on hold and had me keep coming in and have them look at me. Finally, after about 3 years, I said, and they wouldn't take the cataracts off because they were afraid the retina would tear, I would have higher pressure, something would go really wrong. And that I would be totally blind. They thought it was better that I stay the way I was. I trained with my cane. I learned to cook blind. I learned to use computer blind. All these things that I was ready to be a blind person.
Mm-hmm.
So once I could still tell when the eyesight was deteriorating, got really fast, and I would computers again. So I had to call. Schedule an appointment.
Okay, that last sentence all broke up, and I don't know if it was just me or if everybody else had a problem, so I'm going to ask you to repeat it.
After a month, very quickly, I noticed there was a severe deterioration.
Mm-hmm.
And I called the doc and said, something's really wrong. I was afraid I had bleeders again. And if I had bleeders, that would, you know, pretty much be the end of things.
Yeah.
To add to it. And they scheduled an appointment, and I went in thinking I was going to see my own eye doctor. I saw the fellows, which I didn't even know who they were, which apparently had been working with the doctor for a year.
Uh-huh.
They looked at me and said, we can't tell if there's anything in the back of your eye. Great. They said, the cataracts have to come off. I said, doc won't do it. But because they were there, they had newer technology and newer knowledge. They said, we will talk to Doc on one, and this is a Thursday, and we'll talk to him. Those cataracts have to come off. It's too dangerous to keep them on. We can't see your eye.
Yeah.
Back your eye to find out if there's bleeders. By 8:30 Monday morning, my doctor was on the phone saying, we're scheduling you for cataract surgery.
Oh, wow.
And that, ultimately, that's what we ended up having. It was cataract mm-hmm. surgery. It made the difference of getting full vision off. So I no longer have triple vision. I still have issues.
I think we lost you. I think we lost you, Cindy. Okay, people, I can't tell. I can't hear Cindy, so you're going to need help me if you can hear her or not. And sometimes I know she has problems with her phone. So we will will go, maybe she'll call in back in on her on Skype. Let me turn her Skype on and see if we can get her there. Here we go. If I can get on here. There she is. Do we have you now, Sydney?
Hello. Do you have me?
Got you now. Okay, good.
Good.
Your phone left us.
Yep. I just trying to plug it to see what was on with it. So what ended up happening is the eye doctor scheduled me for cataract surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, we might be able to get back maybe, you know, the minimums for driving. Well, the minimums in the state of Wisconsin is where I hung up my car keys. That was not of interest to me.
Yeah.
However, you know, I wanted triple vision gone. That's all I cared about right at that point. So, by the way, the people on the show say now it's nice and clear on the conversation page.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry,
it is, yeah.
We should have done this before.
I guess.
But what happened in that is that I got enough eyesight to be back in my program.
Uh-huh.
And that is phenomenal. And following spirit, you know, I lost a lot, though, because I wasn't in the community. Just like I had, you know, I feel sometimes like I'm right back at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
But it is what it is, and I have to just trust. I mean, I've been on a major spiritual journey with all of this, too. In the process.
So let's talk a little bit, because this is, it's really huge that you go from as a little girl at 2 years old of having limited sight. So you've never known what 20/20 vision is like, right?
Right.
Okay, so you've had limited vision, and then it interfered with your teenage years, I mean, at the dance and all of that, that is emotionally traumatic for a teenager, and then you ended up with then being blind, and a year later being blind, and then having to give up your license, not being able to get a license, which means freedom, especially for a young person. Mm-hmm. But it also means freedom as you get older. It's that freedom to be able to pick up and go whenever you want. So, and then you've gone back and forth with this for so many years. So let's talk a little bit about that emotional. To me, it seems like you'd have had to been on an emotional roller coaster to some extent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's putting it mildly. Like you say, I can do what I'm supposed to do, and I got the license. And years later, when I'm really established in my life, not being able to do that. Luckily, I live in Milwaukee where I've got a bus system. But I can't even visit my parents without them having to come and get me and doing that. Uh-huh. And I am independent. Anybody that's seen me on the show, I am independent. And that was tough.
Yeah.
I mean, admit that I might need help.
Yeah.
But the only way I was able to get some of that help too was to apply for the disability. Oof.
So you are getting, you're on disability.
Correct.
And you're working with Voc Rehab now for the schooling, right?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. All right. And are you in this program now for sign language, for sign interpreting or not?
I ended up actually not doing well enough. I repeated my second semester last semester and didn't do well enough to be able to continue.
And let's talk about why that happened. Because that's when all of a sudden you got eyesight again.
Right. I expected to be, I was ready to be blind. I really, uh-huh. really was.
Yeah.
And here I get, even though I was saying I'm going back to school in fall, I didn't necessarily know that it was going to be for interpreting, even though I wanted to think it would be. I wanted to buck the system and say, I can interpret just expressively on my hands, and I'm going to fight the system to be allowed to do that.
Uh-huh.
I was ready to do that. I wasn't ready to have enough eyesight to have to do the whole thing. And then I didn't trust that I would, that the eyes were mine. that I was going to be able to stay that way because of the roller coaster.
Right.
Yeah. I had this faith that said, thank you, God, I appreciate that, and then went, but if I do well and then I can't continue the next semester again, I have to stop at the same point, then what? Mm-hmm. And went back and forth with that. And didn't want to do homework and was afraid to do homework. And a whole lot of things came into that.
Mm-hmm. So being able to have, or having eyesight again and going through this, brought up a whole fear of success type of a thing.
Yeah.
Which so many people face in many parts of their lives. But for you, it was pretty dramatic at that point in time.
Right. It was. And I've done that to myself at other times. And for the most part, been able to pull out of it. But, or have friends that have kicked me in the behind and said, what are you doing? But I covered it. I covered it for a year.
Yeah.
Saying, okay, I'm back in school. Cool, I can do this. And couldn't talk about it because I didn't know what to say.
And nobody... There's support groups for people who are facing blindness and going blind, but what about support for people who have been there and now are getting eyesight? Is there anything?
Not that I've been able to find. I've talked about
it. You know, I'm gonna throw in a suggestion here that might be one of the things that you're meant to do. Because it isn't just a deaf ministry, but there's a blind ministry as well, or maybe I should say a sighted ministry.
Right.
I hope you'll think about that.
I have, and some levels. I also thought, for the first time in my life, I used to fear deaf blind people.
Really?
And I don't anymore.
Yeah.
Because I understand when somebody said you have to explain the environment, I'm like, oh, how can I possibly do that? I get it now. Uh-huh. I get what explaining that environment means. So that's one of my goals.
So explaining the environment is an amazing way of being able to see and to describe with words what it is that you are seeing.
Yes.
So there's another clue for Kathy and for some of these other people who are having questions about being able to see, is pretend that you're sitting with somebody next to you who is blind. And I hear you typing. And
sorry?
I hear you typing. for those people who are facing this, pretend that somebody sitting beside you who is blind, and say to them, or have them say to you, describe what you are seeing. Describe what's going on in the other room. And do it as describe what's going on in this room. Look around you in the room that you are in and describe in detail, in depth, what is in that room or what is outside of your window or what it is that you want Cindy or someone else now who is blind to. You want them to be able to see, and you want them to see it as clearly as possible. And that's one way of being able to see and explain what you're seeing, which trains you in seeing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Well, it would for you, yeah.
Yeah. Well, right now I have to be your audience. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So tell us what has happened with you on your spiritual growth from this 2-year-old recognition of, or and before, if you remember that, up through now with this whole eyesight situation.
Oh, we're not going before that, I guarantee that.
Okay.
We've discussed that one before, not quite there.
Okay.
But that's something that's opening to me too. But raised Catholic.
Yeah.
Very, very much so, went through all of the typical sacraments, all that thing. Had to play guitars and be in the folk group as soon as I could. That was part of my great thing. As soon as I could get into high school and could be part of it, I was. That's how I could enjoy church. Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when my friend started interpreting, I was able to interpret part of the Mass with her. That's what she taught me.
All right.
So I was part of the service. Mm-hmm. Again, something that, you know, women were not allowed to do, but I had a way to do it.
Yeah.
I could be part of things. Moved out of, was part of that all during college and everything else. Moved out of my parents' home, went to a different church. When I grew up, started a search about that time because, if I was going to change churches, maybe I need to change religions. I don't know. Did some stuff with Unitarian, Unity, did other Catholic things, checked out a Lutheran church, did all the, you know, the typical teenage search stuff.
Yeah.
Still went back to the Catholic Church for a few years. Ended up being in a group where the director did not know how to work with instrumentalists. That didn't work for me.
Yeah, really?
Decided that my guitar has to be in front of me for me to sing well, even. Or I have to be doing something with my hands, which was interesting. Because it coincided with either signing when I sing or playing guitar, and I was comfortable.
Yeah.
So finally I walked away from that, went on my search again, ended up at a was working at a Catholic church, attending a Catholic church, a Unity church, and a Christian-based church all at the same time.
Talk about a seeker and a searcher.
Yes. And the interesting part is I got the same messages within a week from whatever I did. In other words, if I had a staff meeting at work and went to the we were Saturday night choir at the Catholic church, went over to the Christian church for the 8 o'clock service, and then headed over 10:30 for the Unity church service, I would get similar or very related messages at every one of them.
Uh-huh.
None of them leading me to something specific, but all of them leading to a message.
Yeah.
So listening to my minister say, well, you'll know when you need to make a decision, didn't work.
Uh-huh.
The message is loud and clear. I was hearing messages loud and clear. I was getting hit by 2x4s.
Isn't a lot of the same message? For me, you hear the same message throughout the course of any given day because we have a question or a concern or whatever, or there is a message that is trying to get through to us at a particular time, and it happens that we hear it in our churches, in on the back of the T-shirt of somebody, on the radio, in conversation with somebody, the message still comes through because it's important enough for us to recognize.
True.
Did you?
Not here.
Okay.
Yep, very, very true. Very true. And it just happened that it was in churches at that point. But you're right, I've gotten other ones. You know, just through talking to people, it can be reading a book, it can be a billboard, it can be whatever. And it's all, wow, I just got a message on that. It's all in an interpretation.
Yeah.
Pun intended, I guess.
So it's also how you, the interpretation can be oral and we can listen to it and it can be visual. So it's vision. You can see it.
Right. And it's all a perception, too.
Right. Perception, seeing, and how we interpret it. Interesting.
Yeah.
So where has that left you now? Are you still attending 3 churches and getting a variety, the same message, places?
No. For a while, I settled on the Christian church, Bible-based, tongue-speaking, the whole works.
Ooh, wow.
Yes, slain in the spirit, prayers, the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Which was even... for a while, it was very scary, actually. But learned to love it, actually, and love the music. Again, the music drew me. Mm-hmm. And that's where I originally got the message to start the Deaf Ministry. Unfortunately, I think the people who were supposed to be part of that left the church because at one point I was told, again, I think your ministry, and I said, God, wait, I think your ministry is done here. It might be done. What do you mean, God? You're telling me might? Wait, this is coming from God? What? Oh, I'm like, if you don't know, how am I supposed to know? So again, that does put in the human aspect of things, you know, as other people make their decisions. That's how, to me, that's how God operates too.
Yeah.
Right now I'm at a Unity Church. I've been there for a couple of years. I've done a little bit with the choir, but for the most part, I'm part of the congregation, which is very different for me. I am prayer chaplain, which being the person who did not get speaking in tongues for a long time, to now be doing that is just phenomenal.
And do you sign while you're working with prayer?
I don't right now. I did do some interpreting in our church. We do have it out there that there is that the services would be interpreted if somebody came. Under the state law of Wisconsin, that's about the only thing I can do without certification.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I have to be certified to do any other kind of interpreting or in a program. And since I'm not in a program right now, I can't do other things.
Okay.
So I can interpret at a church.
Okay, so now let's move a little bit to the side here, because when we were talking, you said that you don't, when you get messages from Spirit, and you definitely get very clear messages from Spirit, we've seen them and heard them quite a bit on Facebook, how does that happen? Do you see, do you hear, do you know, do you feel? What happens for you?
I don't typically see.
I'm sorry. You don't typically see.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't
that's
see.
That's been a lifelong issue, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I don't. Yeah. I hear.
Uh-huh.
I feel. And sometimes, for lack of a better word, just be. Mm-hmm. End up being a conduit, there's often where I'm creating something, answering somebody's message, praying, whatever, and it will feel sort of like an out-of-body experience. Someone takes over my hands, types something, I want to send it or edit it, because that's me, that journalist editor in me that still stays there, wants to edit, and pretty much I hear, don't you dare.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I know that wasn't me. Or I'll try to, and I'll start trying to use the arrow up, and I'll hit enter anyway, and it's there. It's added.
Yeah.
It's sent out of not my power. I don't know how it is. I try not to analyze it, because I am very logical and I want it all to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that with Spirit, I can't. I just can't, because it's not going to. And the more I try to analyze it, the more confused I get sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the more the messages get thrown at me, and It's kind of strange.
So you haven't quite figured out how to explain it really yet.
No.
But what happens a lot is, what I'm hearing you say, is that when you're writing messages, it will take over. But I've also heard you say that sometimes when you're speaking, that you will say things that it is not coming from you.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So I want to address everybody. We're kind of coming down to the end here of our show, and I want to address everybody to remind you that when it isn't necessary for you to need to analyze everything, and that a lot of times that's where the problem comes in, is we get so confused because Spirit is not analytical and not logical, and where is this coming from, and how do I explain this? And there comes a time when you have to say, right at the moment, I don't know how to explain it, and I'm willing to not try. I am willing to simply be here with it and let it happen and trust. And recognizing too that it's the most important thing is to be on your spiritual journey and your spiritual path. And whatever shows up, whatever of these quote-unquote psychic abilities show up for you
are gifts that are just absolutely, completely normal byproducts of your spiritual path and your spiritual development. They aren't the end-all, be-all. They're not, and this is the thing, is they sometimes get turned into shiny objects, and we get distracted from our own spiritual growth because of these shiny things that we go, oh, I can do that. Oh, isn't that exciting? And then off you go on to a tangent, and you forget about your own spiritual growth. So I'm going to encourage you again to focus on your spiritual path, and anything else that happens is a byproduct, but don't go looking for it. If you are in a, like Kathy, you're in a program for a spirit, for a psychic development, and this is something you want to do, I'm all for it, as long as you maintain your own spiritual path as the priority. And learn how to look and see what is in your environment so that you can draw that picture in words for somebody who can't see. Because most of the time, you can't see, and I can't see. And by paying attention to what's around you, you will learn how to see. You will learn how to hear when you listen to the sounds that are around you and let your mind go quiet from all the chatter. You will learn how to hear. When you stop talking to yourself about, oh, I wish, or oh, what am I going to do, or and you get all emotional, when you can let that be quiet and pay attention to the feelings, actually pay attention to those feelings and write them down, acknowledge them, and then put them on a shelf somewhere so that you can then feel the emotion, but you can feel. When you can let your mind be quiet and let the monkey mind and the thoughts go off to the side a little bit, even for a minute at a time, you will know. You will be able to know. It all comes down to being quiet within, not trying so hard, letting yourself see, hear, feel, and know. So, Cindy, we're going to close, but I want people to know how they can get in touch with you.
Okay. I'm going to give you one thing first.
Okay.
Very quickly. One of the songs that I created or co-wrote with someone falls right into what you were saying.
Okay.
And I'm just going to paraphrase part of it. Though my eyes can't see, I have a vision of all there is and all that can be. And my eyes can't see, I have a vision of all the colors that are within me. We all have colors. We all are on our own path. And we've said this time and time again. And living with our own destiny and our own spirit is what we need to do. And taking that quiet time, like you said, I think is really, really important. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
You can get to me on Facebook. You can get to me on the web. Facebook is under Cindy Freeman, or through Purpose Talk Radio. I also have a Facebook at Cindy Freeman True Visions Media, which is the other side of me, the graphics, writing, photography, all that fun stuff that I still get to do in life, and or on True Trinity on Facebook. Otherwise, on the web, truevisionsmedia.com and visions with the S, or truetrinity.com.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Now, we try to do an affirmation for the day. And I forgot all about this. So do you have anything in mind that you would like to recommend as an affirmation? If not, I have one. But go ahead.
I wanted to write it. Let's see if I can do it without writing it. I receive all that I see literally and figuratively, as the perfect and right path.
Okay, and when you get onto our Facebook group, you can write that out, if you would, for people to be able to see. And the one I have is, just for today, I will allow myself to see clearly. So, for today, this is the end of our show, and I would like to thank you all for being here. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for listening. We'll see you again next week And for the meantime, I wish you soul blessings.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.